I was an inglorious failure for many, many years, and in some respects probably still am, but I bored badly and quickly from every job I ever had, including that as a chief financial officer. And I opened up a strategy consulting shop after I bombed out of a PhD program and figured people would be the path to my door. And of course they didn't. And I was I was playing chess one day over lunch with a fellow in a CPA firm where I rented a little 12 by 15 foot, cookie box office. And I said, "So Lewis, what are you doing these days?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing a business valuation." I said, "Oh, what's that?" I'm an old CFO and all the little back of the envelope stuff. And he explained it to me. And I said, "Well, that sounds kind of interesting." I started poking around. One thing led to another and ended up in a first of a number of 3.5-day classes put on by the American Society of Appraisers. And 90 minutes into the first class, the first day, a fellow put up Porter's Five Forces Framework. And I mean, you should have seen the look on my face. And I'm thinking, I won't polite company. I won't tell you exactly what I thought, but I was dumbfounded. And I thought, you mean all those miserable years of poverty as a PhD student might have some payoff? What a concept. And so I'm known in my professional community as being kind of an outlier. I don't think accounting certainly doesn't have much to do with it. Finance has somewhat more, but strategic management has a whole heck of a lot to do with it. And then 3 years ago, I happened upon Austrian economics. I always knew that the economic stuff I was being fed was not what I knew, not what I felt, not what I had experienced, not what I read about, not what anybody else I knew had experienced. But there is a blackout. It's an intellectual blackout in PhD programs. At least there wasn't mine, and I don't think I was being singled out for any special treatment. There's just nothing about Austrian economics. And yet, intuitively, I believe, this isn't true, but you can't beat something with nothing. And so I just sat there and kind of ground my teeth for many, many years until I stumbled across AE 3 years ago, and it's been one of the great intellectual discoveries, if you will, of my life. And colleagues like Peter Klein is just he's guided me through so much. He's just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I'd say this even if you weren't here, Peter.
We'll settle that later.
Yeah, I know. How it comes into play for us. Austrian economics drives home the idea that because value is subjective, competing using what the strategy literature calls focused differentiation. Porter, generic competitive strategies, cost leadership, differentiation. If you don't compete industry-wide in a segment, which is literature called strategic groups, focused differentiation is absolutely the way for 99 out of every 100 businesses at least to go, because there can only be one cost leader. You try to compete on cost, and if you're not the leader, you are playing catch-up. You are playing a game by someone else's rules. And so in my view, strategy, valuation, value enhancement, the whole nine yards is about being different, thinking different, and doing different. Okay? Imitation may get you some competitive parity for a while, but it's not the path to fame and fortune. It is not that path. And so the whole notion of subjectivity that gets us away from the homogeneity of traditional economics, really shine some light on this for us. Really shine some light on this for us. I had a client say to me one day, I was pounding on him pretty hard about that, and he said, "Well, we're no worse than anybody else." And I said, "Oh, hell yeah. You're going to get your people out of bed at 6 in the morning to come up here and spend the best years of their life because you're no worse than anybody else. Give me a break, man. Give me a break." I also like to challenge authority. So I got out of the Marine Corps about 3 months after I started, after I really started thinking of now. That was a voluntary exit, I might say. Honorable discharge. But I read Goldwater's Conscience of a Conservative, and it really changed my life. It also gives us additional insight into entrepreneurs by what makes them tick. Although I am an entrepreneur, so it's not as alien to me as it is to a lot of my colleagues who have a somewhat more traditional view of the world. This more on differentiation, but the whole notion of competitive heterogeneity, which we get out of Nelson Winter and we get out of evolutionary economics, routines, natural capabilities that may be either exist already in organizations or can be built from the existing resources of the organization. We ask new clients, why do your customers do business with you? And no matter what they say, my next question is, how do you measure that? How do you measure it? Because it is about measurement. It is about alignment between that ever-changing, non-static, external risk environment and that we love to do what we know how to do, let's not change anything, a facet of human nature. The hardest time in the world to get people to change is when the heavens have opened up, money is cascading down on them. Nobody wants to move a muscle. But in capitalist societies, or in capitalist systems, you know, success is a moving target. If you look back to Peterson Waterman's 1982 book, you will see that the vast majority of those excellent companies have either gone out of business or hit on very hard times. Very hard times. Look back 100 years. Look in Chandler's strategy and structure book. Early on, he names 51 companies. Of those 51, you'll recognize fewer than a half a dozen today. That's creative destruction at work. Creative destruction at work. In my particular line of work, 5% of family businesses make it to the third generation. 1 in 20. Now, when you be disruptive, you don't want to commit suicide. We have a client in the Atlantic Seaboard area who likes to, was early stages a couple of years ago, of doing a wireless internet for rural areas. Now it's competing with the government, but in any event, and they thought, well, we'll just go into Manassas. I said, you know who's in Manassas? And they said, no. I said, Time Warner. They said, so? I said, I'll squash you like a bug. Squash you like a bug. There won't be anything left of you. And they went, you really think so? I said, put on your Time Warner hat. What would you do? These people from, Hillbilly Acres come to town and decide they're going to compete with you on cost. Are you kidding me? They'll give their stuff away. Whatever it takes. To their credit, they took that advice. Okay. Success is a moving target. There we go. I've already talked about that. We really are big on individualism, but we want, in growing companies, employees have to take responsibility for some of their own growth. And that doesn't mean going to junkets down in the Bahamas somewhere. That means going to school at night. That means taking time away from the family. Those are tough choices for people to make. And different people will make different choices. But we say, you also have to tell your people that choices have consequences. We all know we only get to see our kids grow up once. But we're not going to sacrifice the business for that very noble child-raising enterprise. We're not going to put everybody else at risk. So you just have to make choices. And we're sorry. It also helps reduce turnover. We want them to be the imitatee, not the imitator. We emphasize the whole notion of imperfect knowledge, which we think is a whole lot nicer than ignorance. Finally, we are in the business of educating clients about the difference between accounting profit and economic profit. And the simple way we do this is net income is an opinion. Free cash flow is a fact. It's real simple. And net income is, tell me what you want it to be. I can make it happen, and I can do it legally. That's it.
Thank you.